Hail, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be your views. We were to have Dr. Lita Eck on, but we had... Actually, I'm sure we got the wrong telephone number, so it's going to be open lines, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you're out there across America. Oh, give us a call. We'd love to hear what you want to talk about. But I was just thinking this evening how so often we can look at things and we would have a different interpretation. Now, certainly the Statue of Liberty was actually given to the United States by the Masons of the Grand Orient Lodge in London, pardon me, in Paris, and it was given to the Masons here in the United States. The Statue of Liberty was designed by a man named Bertoli, who was actually a Mason. The structure came from Eiffel, who was a Mason, and this was a Masonic symbol of Semiramis, and basically this was the goddess of Babylon. It was Nimrod's wife. She was known as the harlot of Babylon. And certainly, if you look at the statue, while you see the seven rays coming off of her head, that is an occult symbol. If you look at the key that she has in the book in her hand, but it's really shaped like a key with knots, edges, unlocking the secrets of the past at the foot there. Of course, the chains are broken around her feet. She carries a light and a lamp, and of course that is the lamp of illumination, which of course is an integral part of Masonry. But to the average American, the liberty that is represented there is not the liberty, the French liberty represented by placing the harlot, the prostitute, on the altar at Notre Dame Cathedral. That was what the Masons advocated, doing away with religion, doing away with certainly belief in God, doing away with the state, and creating this wonderful new society. They even did away with the things that they had. They started a new calendar, doing away with any reference to Christianity. They wanted to destroy religion. They wanted to destroy the existing social order. Well, of course, that has altered. When the Statue of Liberty came to America, it represented to the American people and people coming here our form of liberty. And I'm going to ask my producer to get our engineer here because we're having just a little static on the line. Now, if you're out there in the listening audience, give us a call. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, because this is open lines. But basically, as we look and see what's going on, we can look at the emblem on the back of the dollar bill. The emblem on the back of the dollar bill, the pyramid cap on the all-seeing eye. Now, that is an emblem of the ancient mystery religions. The triangle with the all-seeing eye goes back 5,000 years ago, goes back to the time of Semiramis, back to the time of Nimrod, and then the secret societies and the mystery religions, all aimed at bringing about this one world government. That was what the purpose of the secret societies was, to tap into this supernatural power, this other intelligence out there, and to bring about a one world government and this new world religion. Well, of course, when the American looks at that, they think this has, well, it has 13 steps, must have something to do with the 13 colonies. It really doesn't. That's not what it was designed for. Oh, we see the caption above the pyramid on the back of the dollar bill. In God we trust. But what God are they talking about? And most Americans do not understand the dualism. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. And somebody were talking about, of course, the fact that the people who design what's going on have created all sorts of emblems. And we had Dr. Kathy Burns on the other day, and she was talking about the emblem of British Petroleum. And basically, if you go to their website, British Petroleum website, and if you've ever seen it, it sort of it looks like a sun, and you can see the sun's beams, and then sort of green around the outside of that. And they will tell you that this is patterned over an ancient Greek god. Why would British Petroleum be concerned about an ancient Greek god? Well, you have to understand that British Petroleum is part of the Trilateral Commission, which is founded in the occult. That's why their logo is a three curved sixes. You look very carefully, you might imagine that you're seeing on the inside of those three curved arrows, three sixes, but there's no question that the three arrows are joined together by an upside-down broken cross. It's an occult emblem. The Trilateral Commission is founded in the occult. Its ultimate goal, according to Senator Barry Goldwater, is to seize the political government of the United States so it can take over the financial and commercial control of the interests of the world. He says that on page 280 of his book, With No Apologies. Incidentally, you can get the used copies of the book from Radio Liberty. We think it's important, and that's why we make this offer to you. But you must understand, ladies and gentlemen, that the Trilateral Commission really is coordinating so much of what's going on today throughout the world. They control the Obama administration. In fact, it is not simply by accident that between 1977 and the year 2008, every president and or vice president of the United States was a member of the Trilateral Commission. And we have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that there really are people out there working behind the scenes who control our government and make mockery out of this concept of representative government. But we can't let the American people know that. Well, our job, of course, your job and mine, is to try to get people to understand. The documentation is all out there. You can get the background of the Trilateral Commission by going to augustreview.org, augustreview.org. Pat, Sidney Wood has done a wonderful job. He started researching the Trilateral Commission back in the 1970s, along with our friend Tony Sutton, Anthony Sutton. Anthony's dead, but Pat is still there. And he has the information, and it's vitally important that people understand, indeed, what the background is. There is a small group of very wealthy and powerful people who run our government and are using it to bring about a one-world government and a one-world religion. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly it's open lines this evening. So we invite you to call 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we're simply talking about how people will look at things, the emblems, all the logos of so many of the major corporations, the logos that we see all the time, and they do not understand their significance. Certainly, if you read the book, The Secret Teachings of All Ages by Manly P. Hall, who is the leading Masonic philosopher of all time, that was, of course, the caption was given to him when he died in the early 1990s. But certainly, Manly P. Hall was deeply involved in the occult. He set up the Philosophical Research Society. It still exists in Southern California, and you can see what it's all about if you get the series of DVDs on the secret mystery of America's beginning. But Manly P. Hall, in his classic book, The Secret Teachings of All Ages, will tell you that they actually have created these images, and they put them in art, they put them in sculpture, they put them in woodcuts, they put them in printing, they put them in literature. They have these emblems, and they hide them in plain sight. And people see them, but they have no idea what they represent. You turn on the CBS, and ordinarily, you'll notice in the right lower quadrant, there's an eye there. Well, that, of course, the ancient symbol of the ancient mystery religions. But the average individual doesn't even know what the mystery religions are. Well, we've got Herman calling from Carmel. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. It's open lines tonight, and so give us a call. Hi, Herman. How are you doing?
Okay. I'd like to ask a question. I know you have a book called The Brotherhood of Darkness, which you've had out for many years and kind of pulls a lot of these things together. But, you know, I'd like to ask the question regarding this brotherhood. And you talk about a force, a spiritual unseen force that energizes these people and these organizations. Now, are you suggesting that these people know one another? I mean, this would have to be some grand scheme in order to have all these disparate forces, whether it's in the Middle East or in the United States or Europe or Russia, which supposedly had an opposite enemy system from ours. I mean, how on earth would this all fit together?
Herman, your point is very well. How on earth would this possibly fit together? Well, of course, this is not an earthly issue we're talking about. We're talking about a supernatural phenomenon. We're talking about the fact that there is a spiritual dimension. There is another dimension out there. And, of course, this is what UFOs are. Certainly a UFO can go 5,000 miles an hour and then make an upright turn. You can't do that. I mean, certainly it defies the laws of physics. These are metaphysical. You can see these. You can tap into this other dimension, certainly, with a Ouija board, with tarot cards. Water diviners can do this. Certainly the fortune tellers and the mediums, they can tap into this other dimension. This is what the crop circles are all about. And if you read the occult literature, they will tell you that. The cattle mutilations, these supernatural phenomena, the alien abductions that really do occur. So, now, do all these people know one another? They're basically, we talk about the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, and the Royal Institute of International Affairs, and the Trilateral Commission, but we have to talk about Skull and Bones and the Bohemian Grove. We have to talk about, the Masons. We have to talk about the Rosicrucians and the Theosophists, and the family, and really a dozen other covert organizations. And then, of course, you get into secret societies like the Druze and the Fatimas or Fatimas, who are part of a Muslim secret society, and you've got the Knights of Columbus, and you've got certainly people working within the Jesuits and with the upper echelons of the Vatican. And I remember, of course, it was Pope Paul VI who talked about the smoke of Satan circulating above the Vatican. And there's no question at all, if you read certainly the book written by Malachi Martin, the windswept house, he talks about the simulated satanic sacrifice, human sacrifice, in the basement of the Vatican. And I talked to him off air. I said, did this really take place? And he said, yes, it really did take place. So, but how do we correlate this? Well, basically, I would have to go to a pamphlet. It's put out by the Lucius Trust, used to be the Lucifer Publishing House. It's called The Working of the Spiritual Hierarchy. The Working of the Spiritual Hierarchy, and there they tell and how they have their people planted in every aspect of our society, in finance, in government, in education, in religion. They point out that some of the people know exactly what they're doing. In other words, they're working for these supernatural forces to bring about this world government and new world religion. But many of the people do not know what they're doing. They're simply being directed. And, of course, they're being directed by these spiritual forces that control them, and they don't even realize they're being controlled. So we never know whether an individual knows what he's doing or whether he doesn't know what he's doing. Now, the text of this pamphlet, The Working of the Spiritual Hierarchy, was actually channeled to a woman named Alice Bailey by a demonic spirit known as Joa Cool. And it comes from her book, I believe it's The Externalization of the Hierarchy. I could be mistaken on that, but it was one of the over 20 books that were actually channeled to her by this demonic spirit. So you ask me, how could this whole thing be coordinated? All of these groups are coordinated by supernatural powers. Most Catholics have no idea what this is about. Most Protestants don't realize that some of their leaders have given themselves over to the dark side. Most Jews have no idea that there are a few people who are Jewish who are part of this world satanic conspiracy. Most Masons do not understand the spiritual and Luciferian forces at work at the highest levels of Masonry. I mean, because Masonry is all about secrecy and concealing from the average Mason what it's all about. And the same thing would be true of the Rosicrucians and the Theosophists, although most people in Theosophy really do realize that this is all about the worship of the true God, Lucifer. This is how it's all tied together, Herman. And what's so difficult is for people to realize that this is not imaginary, it's real, and we're moving towards a climax of history. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question. Herman, does that answer your question, and do you have another question you'd like to ask?
Well, these various conspiracies often transcend the lifetimes of the individuals who are involved. So they're not able, for example, the Masons who brought the Statue of Liberty here in the 1800s, well, they're dead and gone. So how do you, in other words...
Why do people become involved in this when they're not going to see it through? Why would anybody want to be a Catholic priest? I mean, certainly because they're dedicated to a cause. Why would anybody want to be a Protestant minister? Because they believe, of course, they're going to further the kingdom of God. And the people on the other side, even though many of them have long since dead, they went into this because they were going to bring about this new world order, this wonderful new utopian world, with, of course, their God in charge. Now, some people do not understand even the spiritual component of this. They really believe that they're going to make a better world for everybody with this world system that they're going to set up. But there's some people, of course, who realize that the ruler of this new world system will be the Antichrist. This is what it's all about. You go back and you read Plato's The Republic, and what does he write about? He writes about this wonderful utopian world they're going to have with this new world leader. And of course, this so-called just man who's going to lead the world. Plato understood what this was all about. He taught this, of course, what it was all about to a few select students. Most of his students never understood the real thrust of what this was all about. They didn't understand it. Plato, as had been Socrates before him and Pythagoras before him, and, of course, Aristotle, who followed, and Alexander the Great, who followed Aristotle, this was all about the teachings of the ancient mystery religions, bringing about this world utopia. What's really so exciting, Herman, is that we are living, I believe, at the time of the climax of history. Anything else you'd like to bring up?
Well, I had a friend who recently pointed me to a work by Tex Mars, and I started reading that, and he has a lot of good information, but he suggests that a high percentage of these conspirators happen to be Jewish. Now, this is often a subject that many people don't want to touch on in any country in the world today. You know, it was a big problem in Germany, and that's how Adolf Hitler partly rose to power. But Hollywood is controlled by the Jews because maybe they bring their friends in or whatever. But how do you answer somebody that says, look, a lot of the leaders of the early Bolshevik Revolution after 1917 were Jewish, of the top people in America today are Jewish, who are involved in banking and in the government?
Well, I'm so glad you brought up the subject. Well, first of all, you're absolutely right. Most of the people who were involved in the original Politburo were Jewish. And, of course, do you know what happened to them? Every one of them but one died a violent death. They were all executed. If this is a Jewish conspiracy, that's a pretty poor way to treat Jews. Yes, we have very, very prominent people in America involved in this who are Jewish. But remember, you read the Bible, you find out that when Joseph went to Egypt, why, of course, the Pharaoh picked him to run the country. when, of course, Daniel was in captivity in ancient Babylon and met Nebuchadnezzar. Why, he was so talented that, why, of course, Nebuchadnezzar gave him a great deal of responsibility. People don't understand Jews. God has chosen the Jews because they're very capable, and we'll talk a little bit about that during the break here. We'll be back and give us a call. Well, Herman, as far as the Jewish thing, certainly there are some Jewish people, a small minority, who are involved in this, and they're in key positions. But the majority of the people who are involved in this are not.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
and for the safety of their families, and because they were expecting some sort of instability here in this country, whether it would be a violence or what it would be, I don't know. But the message was, well, you've done your best, you've worked for the country, and it would be, if you want to look after yourself and your family at this time, it would be advisable to leave. And I checked this out with another gentleman who I knew had been intelligence, and his response by email was, how did you find out? Well, I wasn't about to tell him. I'm not going to use the names of anybody here. All I did was relay this with the thought that we are moving into very uncertain times, and people should be prepared for that. Now, I'm not trying to spread fear, because I want people to have a personal relationship with our Lord, because I'm firmly convinced this is the only thing that's going to sustain any of us. I think we should have food and water and medical supplies on hand, and if you're living in a major metropolitan area, you might think about moving, or if you can't move, at least have some alternative or a support system there so you're not by yourself, because if things get bad, and certainly we can see the same sort of chaos in this country that we have wrought in other countries throughout the world. America destroyed the infrastructure of Iraq intentionally, and of course there in Baghdad, you're lucky if you get 2 hours of electricity a day. There's no running water in many of the buildings there, many of the apartments there. Thanks to America, we've done the same thing in Zimbabwe. I think these are all simply more or less trials of what it lies ahead in America. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Bill, I really believe that we take out in any of the discussions of what's going on any mention of God. And I believe God is going to bring judgment on America for many, many reasons, because the good people of America have been so busy enjoying the good life, we're unconcerned about our military going overseas and killing people in contrived wars. And believe me, the war in Afghanistan and Iraq were totally contrived. And certainly the war in Vietnam was contrived. And who's really concerned about all the civilians, innocent people who've died? So I believe God is going to bring a judgment here. And whether he's going to use these evil people to do it, I don't know. But I do believe we're moving into very uncertain times. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Bill, does that answer your question?
Yeah. Well, you're probably aware that they've brought back the a brigade from Iraq to do civil unrest anticipatory exercises. The war-hardened GIs that were over in the Battle of Fallujah have been brought back to the United States for anticipated civil unrest control, and they've done exercises in basketball gyms.
Well, I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised. I think that they are very, very concerned. You see, the establishment wants to use our military to put down the people. And I believe the time will come when they're going to be told to fire on American citizens. I hope that the American servicemen will remember that their loyalty is to our Constitution, not to the administration. And I think that there's a growing awareness, certainly, among people in the military and the police that we really do have evil and wicked people who've taken control of our government. We have an invisible government. We have the elected government, and then we have the unelected government. And we have a lot of politicians who've sold their souls, really, for the opportunity to be referred to as the honorable so-and-so. Well, they're not honorable at all, and they compromise their principles on a routine basis for secondary rewards. And for, of course, when they get out of the Congress and they go to work as lobbyists and at fantastic salaries. Anything else, Bill?
That probably does it.
Well, I appreciate that. How are things up there in Pasco, Washington? What's happening to your economy?
They're the same as they have been for a long time.
I mean, is the economy, you picking up at all, or things are a little tight?
Oh, they're tight. Yeah, they're tight everywhere. But yeah, this.
Well, I think that, see, they isolate us very much from other parts of the country, so we don't know what's going on here. And where I live in Santa Cruz, things aren't too bad. Certainly, they get out in the Central Valley of California, where they're intentionally trying to destroy the agriculture of our country, of that part. When you're talking about 20, 30, even some communities with 40% unemployment, and just But of course, then of course, everybody gets their government check. They get their unemployment benefits. But what happens when the government isn't going to have that money for unemployment? You can't keep spending money you don't have indefinitely without getting into trouble, whether you're an individual or certainly whether you're a government. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But God does bring his judgment on individuals. God brings his judgment on nations. And I shudder to think what may lie ahead. This is Dr. Stan, and right now we've got Bruce on the line from Spokane, Washington. Hi, Bruce. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Dr. Stan. I wanted to bring up a subject that I'd noticed on. You can find out the pulse beat of your country and where it's going by just watching the news and reading into it. There was a supposed church that was protesting funerals of American soldiers returning from the Middle East.
That's Fred Phelps, yeah.
Pardon?
That's Fred Phelps's church. Go ahead. I mean, he's a...
Well, the thing that was extraordinarily disturbing was the lawsuits that they were targeted at. They were targeted and supposedly had lost a multi-million dollar lawsuit, which in effect would shut down the church and shut down a voice. Now, this has happened several times. Now, even though I don't know exactly what their bend or their message was, nonetheless, they're shut down by these lawsuits, and it was just based on an emotional loss by one of the parents of a deceased soldier. And somehow this was bent into a winning lawsuit and a loss for that church. And I just... It's a trend that is extraordinarily disturbing, silencing free speech. I just want to know what you'd have as a comment on that.
Well, I agree with you. I've had contact with Mr. Phelps in the past. He's a man who hates homosexuals. He doesn't represent Christianity at all. I don't know what he represents, but he and the members of his church go all over the country. He always defaming a homosexuality. I think homosexuality is wrong, and I believe that God is going to bring his judgment upon America. But to go to a funeral I believe he was a sergeant in the Marine Corps, and say that somehow he was responsible. This is responsible for bringing God's judgment upon this country, or that this and his death was God's judgment for fighting for a country that was doing these things. This is wrong. Hold on just a moment here.
Yes.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Bruce is simply calling from Spokane and expressing his concern about a recent lawsuit that was settled. I think it's going to the Supreme Court now. But there's a gentleman from Kansas. His name is Phelps, I believe. Somebody wants to call in and correct me. He has a ministry based upon hatred of homosexuals. Now, I disagree with homosexuality, but there's some very kind and gentle and the homosexuals, and some of them are certainly just ruthless, and I've personally been subject of their harassment with literally hundreds of vile, horrible telephone calls, so vulgar I couldn't even begin to mention this over the radio, but I don't hate homosexuals. Nothing's gained by that. Many of them suddenly are very nice people if you know them personally. There is a small number of gay activists, and they are there specifically to get people to hate homosexuals. And then there are people like Mr. Phelps who wants to get people, Christians, to hate homosexuals. Well, basically, of course, as I understand what happened, was there was a funeral for a Marines sergeant who had died in battle. And, of course, Fred Phelps comes to the funeral with people, and he basically says, you know, and he's demonstrating 100 yards away that this young man died because, of course, God's judgment was coming on because of America's attitude towards homosexuals and tolerance of homosexuals. And the family was certainly upset about this, and I think understandably so. And certainly, I think Mr. Phelps is entirely wrong in what he's doing. But should you be able to get a lawsuit because you don't agree with what people are saying? In other words, it may be entirely wrong, but remember what Voltaire had said. I may not agree with what you say, but I'll fight to the death for your right to say it.
But you don't hear people saying that anymore.
I know.
Not only that, they go out of their way to try to silence you. We used to have less than 30 miles away from here years ago, a so-called church. It was called the Aryan Nations, and it was run by a man named Richard Butler. And he had some, to say the least, some very inflammatory things. And he was targeted by both ADL and Southern Poverty Law Center. And they lost the lawsuit. They lost all their property. They lost the rights to the name and everything like that. But he used to get up every morning and say, "Thank God I live in America. So some fool can completely, abuse their rights to speech, and still we have the freedom to do it." Well, that's not true anymore. They targeted him, and they eradicated him, and now they literally have the man that defended him several years ago in jail, without bail. And it's a lawyer. And he was set up by the FBI, the same MO. They have a very sleazy past criminal that now is giving evidence to the FBI. And now this guy is incommunicado and without bail in a federal jail here in Spokane.
And I think you're absolutely right. Whether Phelps is doing this intentionally or unintentionally, he's doing everything he can to destroy the First Amendment. And there really are people like the ADL who want to destroy the First Amendment.
I understand.
We should be able to say, I think Phelps is repulsive, but I think that he has the right to say that if we believe in America. But what they want us to do is to choose up sides. Do we want to hate the homosexuals? I mean, do we want to call upon God's judgment to come on America? I don't want God's judgment to come on America. I think it will. But certainly, what he did was designed to inflame the whole issue. And if he certainly did not want to destroy the First Amendment, he's doing a good job. Hey, our guest is on the line. Thanks very much for calling. I share your concern.
All right, thank you.
God bless. And let's go to Dr. Alicia Eck. I'm sorry, Dr. Eck, we had a difficult time getting through. Thanks very much for calling in.
Oh, that's fine. I'm sorry about that, too.
Well, anyway, Dr. Eck, of course, is with the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, and she shares our concern about the Obama health care issue. So I'm going to let you just talk about it. Why should the person out there in the listening audience be concerned about what's happening as far as Obama health care? After, isn't it wonderful that everybody's now going to be able to get health care, and they're not going to be able to discriminate against people who have pre-existing conditions? And what's wrong with my arguments? Go right ahead.
I had just recently written an op-ed, and I had met a physician from Canada who came down and spoke at the annual meeting of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons last month. And he came down to warn us. Turns out that he decided to come from France. His name is Dr. Jacques Chaoui. He was educated in France and really couldn't find work there, so decided to come to the New World. And he was going to go to either Canada or United States in 1979. He chose Canada because he wanted to live in a country that was more compassionate, because after all, they had a health plan for all. and he thought it must have its priorities straight, and any government that does that, that's what he wanted to support. Well, 15 years later, he found himself bucking that same system that had attracted him. And in Quebec, he developed a house call system where he employed six other doctors, and they would be seen and cared for quickly. He'd make house calls. And the local medical association had the monopoly to negotiate with the government, and they conspired to put him out of business. The patients wanted him, and they just wanted to pay him to take care of them, but that was illegal in Quebec. And so, therefore, he wound up going all the way up to the Supreme Court. And he prevailed. He didn't really have any backing. He funded this all himself. He spent about $500,000, but he ended up prevailing, and they had to agree that getting onto a waiting list for health care was not the same as having health care. And that's what's happened in Canada. So his warning to us was, be careful. I mean, the administration that we now have really wants to have single-payer systems.
And they want to push the system where they can ration access to health care, and that means putting you on a waiting list. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the public to know.
That's right. And Dr. Chewy came down. He spoke to us. It was really a very compelling argument. He says, you know, the historical roots were, maybe originally they really, really wanted to intervene and help workers who couldn't afford health care. But he says, today the government is preventing those who are suffering from using their own money to get care, and it winds up to be an infringement to the right to life and security and the liberty of a person, because the poor can't come to the United States and get care, but the middle class saves up in case they're going to really need health care so they can come to the United States and get the care. If we wind up with the same system, I don't know what the Canadians are going to do.
Well, I think that basically we're going to have to, those who can afford will go to Mexico, they'll go to India, there's lots of places you can get very high quality care for a fraction of what it costs here. The government has done everything they can to run up the cost of medicine. I read your article and you commented that you had a friend who could remember when a hospital room was something like $69 a day. Well, I can remember going into the hospital one time for a arthroscopic procedure. I think it was $13,000. I didn't even get breakfast. I mean, can you believe that? Not even one meal and $13,000. And it's all because of the government interference in the private practice of medicine and intentionally running up the health care costs, don't you feel?
Sure. I mean, it used to be, you're a surgeon, right?
Right. I was an orthopedic surgeon for 35
years. Okay. We have a local hospital near us that was started about 100 years ago, and it was started because there was a train crash, and they had to do surgery in one of the storerooms of the train station. And so the community got together, and they saved up money, and they built a hospital. And the administrator of the hospital was a recently retired surgeon who kind of knew the ropes, knew how to administer, to run a hospital, and it was just all the community coming together, lots of volunteers, and then the people would get care, and the cost was really not outrageous. And now that hospital has gone out of business because it became a big business. The CEO of the hospital was taken over by a big healthcare corporation, but now the CEO makes probably 5 or 10 times what a surgeon would make. In the past, the person who ran the hospital made about the same as what a surgeon would make. It's become a huge business, and the government is definitely in cahoots and helps to foster that. It's sort of a form of the government controls the private sector. So, you know, the government getting involved in healthcare is really part of the problem. It's actually the root of the whole problem.
And, of course, what they've done is they rewarded the hospitals for spending more money. And basically, they said, well, no, we're going to pay you just exactly a regular customary cost. You have nothing to worry about. We're from the government. We would never betray you. We will charge what you can charge whatever you want, and we'll pay it. And then pretty soon it was, well, you will charge whatever you want. Plus 1%. Well, you make a lot more money if the hospital bill is $100,000 rather than $1,000. And so the hospitals were encouraged to actually expand and build new buildings. And then it was we'll charge you what your cost is minus 1%. And then pretty soon they came up with DRGs, diagnostic-related groups, where the hospitals lose money on most of their government patients, and now they have to cost shift to the private sector. And then they private sector, private insurance companies negotiate contracts, and then the only people who are really paying the full check are the people who don't have any insurance, and they charge them ridiculous things, totally obscene costs, don't you think?
Yes, and the uninsured get charged 10 times what a person, what an insurance company would pay for the exact same service. Yeah, it is. When you see the private sector just do it the right way and have real competition, you can bring the cost way down. Yeah.
Well, what's the solution? How are we going to reverse this thing? Because right now, you know, I think there are an awful lot of people who are very concerned about this. Do you really think that they're going to have death panels and actually limit the access of older people to get adequate health care?
When you look at one of the doctors gave a speech about Hitler's doctor, and he was a good doctor when he went to medical school. He just wanted to take care of people. But his mind just got changed as he went to the eastern front of the war, and he saw that there were psychiatric hospitals out in that could take care of some of the war wounded, but they were psychiatric patients. And he says it was a matter of triage. You only had a limited amount of space. You had patients that needed care, so you had to decide, well, who should live and who should die. And the horrors just began with that. But they called it triage. We call it rationing, and when it's all a big centralized system, you know, you have to ration out a limited amount of money, and it's very, very dangerous. And you hate to be trite, but the slippery slope really is something.
In fact, we've heard just this last week that certain states now, at least one state, is going to say, well, there'll be no longer an opportunity for people who have had hepatitis C to get a liver transplant. Most liver transplants are done for people who have chronic cirrhosis because of hepatitis C. Doesn't necessarily mean that they got this because they were drug users or certainly did anything wrong. They had hepatitis C, they got cirrhosis of the liver, they're going to die. And now they're going to cut off the possibility of liver transplants because they had hepatitis C. And so basically somebody makes an arbitrary decision as to who lives and who dies, but not in Hitler's Germany, right here in America this last week.
That's right. That's right. Centralized systems never work. And that actually was the beauty of our Constitution, that there never would be a big centralized system. It would be 50 states that could all try things and could try to work out ways. We've been doing that, and each time each state tries things, it doesn't work very well. So another state tries it. But making it into a federal system is going to be absolutely impossible to undo. And it's number one, unconstitutional. The state should be doing this themselves. And number two, it's just not going to work.
But Barack Obama doesn't believe in the Constitution. And he basically, the people who put him in power, have a different agenda. They want to be able to provide for the people so they can control the people.
And that's what the people ought to understand. We do have a chance to make a great difference with this election. And I hope that everybody who's listening will just take heed to this and vote. And vote for people who believe in the Constitution, who can tell us what's in the Constitution. Don't give lip service. They're gonna swear to obey it. You don't want them to just give lip service. You want them to really understand what's in it and talk about it.
Amen to that. Well, Sydney, do you have a web page or anything that where people can get in touch with you or get in touch with the information you have?
Sure. The AAPS website is aapsonline.org, and that's where you can get everything. We're the only physician group that has a lawsuit that's working its way in the D.C. District Court to overturn Obamacare. And so we need more physician groups to just sign on. Individuals can just sign on, just voice your opinion about it, and we could have a groundswell of support. It's a court that is probably going to be ruling our favor, and one thing is going to wind up in the Supreme Court.
But, of course, the thing is that the Constitution does not give the federal government the ability to provide for the common defense. Pardon me, does not give the right to provide health care for people.
Yeah.
And this is no way you could misinterpret the general welfare clause. If that was true, government could do anything it wants to. And this is what's happening today, is government wants to control people from the cradle to the grave. So it does this by providing care for them. And, Medicare is so wonderful, and what's wrong with providing health care for the elderly? Well, right now, Medicare is bankrupt, and the only way it's going to work is to begin to kill off the elderly, and that's what, of course, the death panels are all about. They were in the stimulus bill, and basically, they will allow federal panels to determine what care will be appropriate for what age. How can you, Dr. Eck, lump everybody together? Some people at 80 are just about ready to die, and other people at 80 are young and vibrant, like me.
Right. That's absolutely right. You have to understand that anytime you set up a big government system, what you're really feeding is a huge bureaucracy where money gets siphoned off and where people are getting paid to regulate and to control and push papers. And the more regulations, the more secure their job is. The National Health Service has quadrupled its workforce at the same time that the number of beds were cut in half. So think about it. They're just funding a huge bureaucracy. The National Health Service in Britain is the third largest employer in the world. And the United States, we're going to be the greatest employer in the world if we have a national health care system. Very low productivity, very little health care, but a huge bureaucracy.
But at least over in England, you can buy your own health care if you've got the money here. But certainly, this is not allowed in Canada. And basically, what they're going to do is they're doing everything they can to drive the private insurance companies out of business. And a lot of them are just leaving health care. But don't you worry. The federal government will have their program, and they will then regulate what treatment is appropriate. Even many of the private insurance companies are going to be told what to do under this incredible situation.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, if your congressman or your senator voted for the death panels, you vote against them. That's all I can tell you. We're going to be back in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program here at Radio Liberty, and you hang on, Dr. Eck.
Okay.
Well, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program for us.
Okay.
You go right ahead, and what is your message you'd like to get out across America tonight?
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
The purpose behind the Obama health care bill is not about taking care of people, it's about control. And basically, if you are concerned about your health or the health of your children, why, certainly do everything you can to block this. And before long, they're going to be mandating vaccines. Ladies and gentlemen, the vaccines are deadly. If you doubt what I'm saying, just look at these figures. One in every six American children, he's either learning disability or some sort of a neurodevelopmental abnormality, according to the CDC. One in every nine children is asthmatic. One in every 11 to 12 children has severe allergies. One in every 66 boys is autistic and their life is destroyed. One in every 90 to 100 children is autistic and their life is destroyed. And, of course, it's much more frequent in boys than it is in girls, why the difference in the statistics. And certainly one in about 450 children has type 1 diabetes. And these are all related to vaccinations because you do not see this. You see it only very rarely in the Amish and Mennonite children. And it has nothing to do with genetic differences because they've done similar studies with children in the general community and families who do not vaccinate and do vaccinate. And you see a marked difference. And these studies are done by the National Vaccine Information Center, Barbara Lo Fisher's group. And if you didn't hear my last interview with Barbara Lo Fisher, you need to get a copy of that. It was excellent. Well, our goal is to get the information out, and you must help us. We have a great DVD. It's my talk on the specter haunting America. The specter haunting America. Why do we have so much autoimmune disease today? Lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, ulcerative colitis, the myriad of autoimmune diseases that we have. And, of course, much of this is related directly to vaccination. Why do we have so many people developing, of course, Alzheimer's disease and dementia? Well, because they're getting their flu shots with the mercury in it and the Parkinson's disease at an earlier age. Not, these are not the only things, the aspartame that they're putting in our food is there to poison us, and the bisphenols that they're putting in, certainly so many of the pesticides and the insecticides that have toxic effects on our brain. And they know this. They just don't want the American people to know because, you see, once you get Alzheimer's disease and dementia, you're going to be dead very soon. It's all about population control. And if you haven't read the National Security Study Memorandum 200, NSSM 200, we have it available, a formerly top secret federal document came out over the name of Henry Kissinger, his signature in 1974, and a plan for worldwide population control. That's the major thrust of America's foreign and domestic policy. You need to get the NSSM. You need to get my talk on the specter haunting America. Dr. David Ayoub, mercury autism and the global vaccine agenda. Why are we vaccinating little children throughout the world with vaccines that contain mercury when we took it out of the childhood vaccines here in America? Why are we doing that? Are we trying to damage those children? And then, of course, the DVD, Vaccines and Brain Development by Dr. Blaylock. They're all available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. And you need to help us get the information out. They are intentionally harming our children. Helpless children, and basically the doctors don't know, and you've got to get the information and educate them. And we've got the books by Neil Miller, Vaccines, Are They Safe and Effective, and the Vaccine, there's certainly Safety Manual, and you need to find out, is this really true? Check the documentation. Now, Dr. Ayoub is going to be one of the speakers at our all-day conference on the 17th of October, and if you don't have your reservations, you're going to have them in this week. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. October 17th, a week from Sunday, we're bringing in speakers from across the country. And it's a great time. We're going to be serving lunch, so you have to have a reservation. And then we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection, We'll be back in a moment with Dr. Garth Nicholson. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dr. DeGarth Nicholson. And Dr. Nicholson is certainly one of the country's, world's really leading researchers. He is certainly there with the MB Anderson Clinic in Houston for many years because of certainly unusual circumstances there for his own safety and the safety of his wife. They left and came to California, but last time I checked, he had over 600 peer-reviewed papers in the scientific literature. Dr. Nicholson, how many papers do you have out there today?
Well, it's over 600, but that's not the important thing.
Well, of course, Dr. Nicholson has been very kind to be with us in the past and talking about the Gulf War illness and about chronic fatigue syndrome, and I called him. There's some information that's come out recently about some sort of a virus that they found in people with chronic fatigue. Now, basically, a lot of people have gotten chronic fatigue from getting blood transfusions. Certainly, very often you will see this in families, you know, and both the husband and the wife will have this chronic fatigue, so there's some sort of an infectious element to it. And recently there's been talking about a new virus and the part that it plays. So I asked Dr. Nicholson if he could talk on that and then on several of the other issues to keep you abreast of what's really going on. So please, is there any truth to this new virus they've come up with?
Well, I think there is. There have been some mixed results on it, I think partly because of methodology. But I think they have found a virus. It's a retrovirus. As you know, retroviruses often interfere with our immune system. In the case of HIV/AIDS, the HIV-1 virus really shuts down the immune system and allows the person is really incapable of fighting off infections. It's really the secondary infections that kill in the case of AIDS, not this virus. And the same thing may be happening in chronic fatigue syndrome, where a majority of the patients, it looks like, have what's called a human gamma retrovirus. This type of virus won't kill you, but it can tweak your immune system, and I think that may be the thing that leaves people much more susceptible to some of the infections that we've been finding over the years. You know, I've spent a lot of time looking at a variety of different bacterial and viral infections and not only fatiguing illnesses, but a variety of other illnesses as well, neurodegenerative diseases, for example, rheumatic illnesses and so on. And one of the common features of all these chronic illnesses and one of the reasons why they're increasing in frequency in our population is that they're all associated with a variety of different infections. And we've looked at infections, and we find very important classes of bacterial and viral infections in all these different diseases. So it looks like something like this virus may play a role in not really shutting down the immune system, but at least tweaking it a bit so that it is not as nearly as responsive to these infections, and people pick up these infections or they've carried them literally for years, and then they start causing problems. They start causing morbidity and signs and symptoms.
And because one of the things they used to call chronic fatigue was non-AIDS immunodeficiency. And immunodeficiency is sort of a hallmark of chronic fatigue, isn't it?
Well, we know that there are immune problems in chronic fatigue syndrome patients, but we didn't really appreciate what these were due to. We always thought, well, it may be the infections themselves, because often the infections that we find in fatiguing illnesses are infections that can, by themselves, compromise immune system, suppress immune system. So we always thought that that might be the underlying problem, but it looks like it might be something else.
All right, you hang on. We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Garth Nicholson. We have probably 1 million to 2 million people out there with chronic fatigue syndrome out there in America today. Most of them are totally disabled. Well, Sydney, this is really sort of an effective treatment for that, other than the standard treatments of trying to build up the immune system to counter this virus?
Well, that's one of the things that we've been proposing for years, is that you have to really boost your immune system, and so that's one of the techniques that has been used successfully. It helps, but when you get these infections like mycoplasma on board, they're very difficult to treat anyway. And so once you get these, then it's really difficult to get rid of them. And that's one of the things that I think personally is going on here. I don't think that this new virus that's been discovered is actually causing morbidity or the signs and symptoms. If it is, they're not causing the severe signs and symptoms that we see in the patients that are most incapacitated. All of those patients have other infections, which I think are much more important in terms of their morbidity. But that being said, I think this new virus may play a role in the etiology of something like chronic fatigue syndrome. It may tweak the immune system enough where these people are much more susceptible to all the different bacteria and viruses that are out there that can cause disease. And because of that, they pick these up, they collect them with time, and then they get worse and worse until they're identified and actually treated.
Well, now, is this virus spread certainly by blood contact? Can it be spread by respiratory contact? Do we know?
Well, we don't know for sure. That it's very difficult to spread these retroviruses by airborne contact. They will be passed, however, through transfusion. Insects might even be vectors in some cases. So anywhere where there's blood that's exchanged, there's a chance of exchanging a retrovirus. Any time where there's injury and bleeding and so on, there's a chance to spread it. So whenever body fluids are exchanged, there's a chance to spread it. So these are, I think, the parameters that we're talking about. Now, on the other hand, what I think are probably the secondary infections are airborne. So those could be picked up, just by being in the proximity of someone else who's infected. Often there's a wide range of different susceptibilities to those particular infections as well, and often they're not highly contagious, so it's not like the influenza that spreads like wildfire. These things are not real contagious, and so it takes prolonged contact, and that's why something like chronic fatigue syndrome, it often takes a long time. There's a very long latency probably between exposure and actually having signs and symptoms. It's a very slowly evolving disease process.
And is this, we'll be back here in just a moment with Dr. Garth Nicholson. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Now, is this an animal retrovirus? Is it a mouse retrovirus? Is it a human retrovirus? What sort of retrovirus is it, or do we know?
Well, the current results that are coming out now indicate that it is a human retrovirus, although originally it was thought to be a xenotropic virus from mouse origin. We don't know the true origin of it originally, but it certainly is, it's adapted, let's say, to humans. And for that point, it's effective in humans. And I think that, for most people, that's the important point, not where it originally came from. Because things like viruses, can be adapted from one species to another after generation and generation of exposure. This one is called the human gamma retrovirus because it has characteristics of other viruses of that same class. These are viruses that don't cause acute illness by themselves, but they can cause chronic problems.
Well, this really is rather exciting news. You know, we've been talking about this for a decade or more, I'm sure, as far as back as I can remember, and certainly we've always speculated as to what the etiological agent was. So this is really rather an exciting finding, isn't it?
It is. It's an exciting finding. I'm not sure whether this will allow new treatment strategies. They're already talking about treating people with antivirals and so on, and my feeling is that once this thing gets, you know, it's more an initiator rather than a cause of morbidity in these patients. So once it's initiated, going back and treating it may not help the patients whatsoever. It's really the secondary infections that they get after this that are really causing the main morbidity, I think, in these patients.
But of course, some of the secondary infections, like mycoplasma, will respond to long-term antibiotics, won't it?
Yes, they do. These slow-growing bacteria like chlamydia and mycoplasma and borrelia and these type of bacteria require long-term antibiotic treatment to really be effective to suppress them. They're intracellular. That means they hide inside cells. They're difficult for the immune system to see and to suppress on its own. So really, things like antibiotics are really important in treating these.
Well, now, isn't borrelia, isn't that the organism that causes Lyme disease?
Yes, it is. And in fact, we've been looking at the incidence of this type of infection in chronic fatigue syndrome patients, and there's really a significant frequency of this, particularly in Lyme-infested areas. As many as 25% of the chronic fatigue syndrome patients may actually be Lyme patients. And we went back and published a study on this, actually, where we looked at several hundred patients with chronic fatigue syndrome, and we found that there was really a significant portion of them that were truly Lyme patients. Now, whether they picked up their Borrelia infections late or early on, we don't know. But certainly it's an important aspect of the whole chronic fatigue syndrome profile.
And we basically see this whole spectrum of diseases from fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, Lyme disease. They sort of all merge into one another. Don't many people with Lyme disease have multiple other infections as well?
Well, that's true, and this is one of the problems in dealing with these types of diseases, and it not only does it overlap there, but it also overlaps in the area of neurodegenerative diseases as well, because many people with neurodegenerative diseases also have these problems. So people, for example, with ALS, MS, these types of diseases also have these infections at a very high frequency. In the case of ALS, for example, Lou Gehrig's disease, we found that virtually 85% of civilians and 100% of the military patients that we've looked at have mycoplasma infections. So that's a very important cause, and also we're finding fairly high frequency of Borrelia infections as well in those patients. So it turns out if they don't have the mycoplasma, they inevitably have Borrelia. So there are these bacterial infections found in these neurodegenerative diseases, and I think it explains the increasing incidence of these diseases in our population. Previously, they were thought to be just genetic-based diseases, and in fact, there is probably a very strong genetic factor. But also, the fact that there's such a high frequency of these patients are infected leads us to believe that this is important in the whole etiology of those diseases, and also explains why you can't really, through genetics, explain how these diseases are passed down. So we think it's got to be, in part, an infectious basis.
All right, fine. Well, certainly, is there anything new as far as treatment is concerned? You know, basically, of course, a lot of people say that garlic or or allicin, which I think is a garlic derivative, or things like oil of oregano or elderberry juice or things like that. Or do any of these things, certain types of mushrooms, do these things really help the immune system?
Well, everyone's different. I mean, one of the things that we found about trying different immune treatments to try and boost people's immune systems is that everyone's really different, and we've got to try a number of these different things on individuals to see what helps which person and what doesn't help them. And so I feel it's one of those things that people have to experiment on themselves and determine what seems to help them the best. It's hard to say. Most of these things, which are herbal treatments, for example, or remedies, or, you know, fairly simple things, are not highly effective on their own. Otherwise, they would, you know, be solving the problem by themselves, and they don't. But collectively, a number of these things can help, and we actually have some recommendations on our website on which one of these seems to be helpful and which one's not. And also, there's some better products out there than ever before, things like a transfer factor, which is actually a part of the immune signaling process that's derived from an animal that's been infected with specific types of infections. These have gotten better and better, and some of these preparations now are, I think, really outstanding in terms of helping the immune system.
Well, I've never heard of the transfer factor. I mean, I've heard of transfer factor, but I've never heard of it being utilized in medicine. Is this considered a medicine? Is this considered a health product or what?
Well, it's kind of in between, actually, because it's a product that doesn't really fall under the category where it requires a prescription, so it's not regulated by the FDA. Basically, it's still in the remedy situation, but I think they've improved it enough where we can really talk about it now for the first time and as a, you know, part of the whole solution. And if people are interested in reading more about which types of immune boosters seem to work the best, they can go on our website at the Institute for Molecular Medicine, www.immed.org. It's like immediate.org. And on there, if they go under treatment considerations, which is a section on there, they can learn about the treatment of the immune system, for example. They can learn about using the use of antibiotics in the treatment of some of these infections. They can learn a bit about antivirals and the treatment of viruses. They can learn about treatment of heavy metal diseases and the removal of heavy metals. And so there's all kinds of topics that are covered, as well as one of our newer topics, which I think is important in all chronic illnesses, and that's how to reverse the damage to our mitochondria.
Oh, do you want to mention that at all? I know that you've done a fair amount of work on that.
Well, I just actually got back from a meeting in Montreal on cancer fatigue. This is an international meeting where this is a major problem with people that have cancer, and particularly during cancer treatments. Fatigue is just a major problem with these patients, and it's something that hadn't really been solved up until recently, and we've figured out ways to really help people with their fatigue if they have cancer. And basically what we found is that their mitochondria, which are like the little batteries inside their cells, get damaged. They get oxidized because during the treatment of cancer and also during cancer itself, they're what's known as reactive oxygen species, which are released, and these damage the membranes, and particularly they damage the mitochondrial membrane. They can also damage nerve membranes, for example, and cause depolarization of pain nerves, for example, so there's a lot of pain associated with some of these diseases, and we think that this is important, for example, in fibromyalgia. And one of the ways to help repair this whole process is to try and fix the membranes of the mitochondria, and one of the ways that we found to do that, first we had to identify what was really being damaged, and it turns out it was the lipids in the membrane that were being oxidized and damaged. And when the lipids were damaged, the membrane couldn't really retain its integrity, so there was leakage of ions across the membranes, and it resulted in a partial depolarization of the membrane. What this meant was that the electrical charges on the membrane couldn't be maintained the way they should be, and the membrane kind of got run down electrically. And what this means in the mitochondria when that happens is you can't produce the high-energy molecules that are necessary for life. So when we looked at a whole bunch of cancer patients, for example, and particularly patients undergoing therapy, we found that their mitochondria were run down to various degrees, and the most extensive was during the treatment of cancer. And so after the treatments, immediately after they're over, we give them this lipid supplement that we call lipid replacement therapy, and this goes in and slowly repairs the lipid membranes of the mitochondria. Then they can recover their energy capabilities and start producing high-energy molecules, and now all of a sudden the fatigue feels much better. People feel much, much better than they felt before. And some of the fatigue problems and other aspects of this in terms of headaches, for example, in terms of malaise, in terms of severe pain and so on, a lot of those problems are at least partially solved in these patients. So I think it's going to be very helpful and useful.
Well, now, what part does vitamin D3 play in as far as the strengthening the immune system? Does this play a part as far as you're concerned?
Yes, it's one of the required vitamins, and it's important for the immune system.
And it really does tend to boost that immune response.
Well, what it does is, if there's a deficiency, this solves the deficiency problem, and then this requirement for the immune system so it can operate.
Oh, it's, ladies and gentlemen, there's really so much out there that the average person really is unaware of, and you really need to know all of these things, and I'll tell you the website, immed.org. It's like immediate.org, I-M-M-E-D. Dr. Sunny Nicholson's done a great deal of great information. It'll be there, and we'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Garth Nicholson talking about this and certainly other issues. Well, Garth, is there anything else new on the field? Is there
gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today. by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
To try to help people with these chronic disabling diseases, which of course merge over into Lou Gehrig's disease, into multiple sclerosis, these chronic diseases that are really so incapacitating. We've got Donna calling us from New Orleans, Louisiana. Hi, Donna. How are you doing?
I'm not too good. I wanted to know, Dr. Goff, how do you test to find out if the membrane of the mitochondria or the cell membrane is damaged? Do you test fatty acids and amino acids?
Well, let's get to Dr. Nicholson. How do you know whether this is, or is this just an empiric thing that we know that they're damaged and so we treat them? How would you answer, Donna?
Well, we actually have laboratory tests to do with it, but unfortunately these are not routine tests that are available that you can order. And those laboratory tests require us to take a blood sample, and we actually isolate the mitochondria from the white blood cells, which contain mitochondria, and we put a what's called an electron acceptor dye in with them, and this is a dye that can penetrate into the mitochondria. And when the mitochondria are functioning, the dye will accept electrons because it has a specific redox potential, and when it does accept electrons from a functioning mitochondria, it fluoresces, so we can actually pick up and quantitate that fluorescence. So we know exactly if the mitochondria are functioning and what level they're functioning. And so this is how we determine that in all these different chronic illnesses, there's mitochondrial dysfunction. And others have worked on the dysfunction of mitochondria before, and so it's not just us. Other people have used other methods to determine and find exactly the same thing. So this is not a brand new story, but what's new about it is that we find it in virtually every chronic illness that we've looked at.
Okay, Donna, does that answer your question?
Well, somewhat, but what lab do you get that at, done at?
Well, this is the problem. It's not a test that you can have done commercially, for example, or have done at your local office. It's mostly done by research laboratories like ours. The simple thing to correct this is to take the proper lipid supplement. And we've been working with one lipid supplement that's very good called NT Factor. And NT Factor, you can find out about it by going to a website called ntfactor.com. And there are some of the results that we've gotten, some of the clinical trials that we've done, some of the research that we've done on it is presented on this particular website. And you can actually order this yourself. You don't need a prescription to order it, because they're just natural membrane lipids, so they're just the natural products that our bodies need anyway.
Well, I think, Donna, you'll find out that people who have these chronic diseases will actually have the lipid damage, that'll have the mitochondrial damage. So,
okay, well, can I ask you, I took methotrexate for rheumatoid arthritis, and now I have nerve damage. You think I might be a good candidate for this product?
Yeah, I think you would be, because I just mentioned that I got back from a cancer fatigue conference where I presented our data on cancer patients, and of course methotrexate is an antineoplastic drug, and people that were treated with cancer patients had a tremendous amount of fatigue, and this product really helped them tremendously overcome that fatigue after their therapy. So immediately after their therapy, they're given this NT factor. And then after the therapy is completed, they continue on it, and it helps repair their mitochondria and repair the damage that's been done by the chemotherapeutic agent.
Okay, Donna, and if you have access to a computer, you can go to Dr. Garth Nicholson's website, and then, of course, you can go to the other website he mentioned as well.
People can also send me an email, and I just published a large review on this that just came out in Cancer and Metastasis Reviews, reviewing the whole area of cancer fatigue and what it is and how it's treated.
Well, I don't really suffer with fatigue as much as just severe nerve pain.
Well, nerve membranes are another problem, because any of the membranes of the cell, they all contain similar types of lipids, which can be damaged during various treatment processes or various disease processes. And so they need to be repaired, and this is one way to naturally repair them.
Okay, thanks very much for calling, Donna. And Sydney, our guest, of course, is Dr. Garth Nicholson. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question for our guest. Sydney, Dr. Nicholson's on the front lines of doing the research of this. He has been for, well, ever since I've known him. But certainly if you haven't read his book, we carry it. It's called Operation Daylily, as I remember.
Project Daylily.
Project Daylily, okay. And we do carry it, certainly when we talk about it, why people want to get it. It's one of those fascinating book. It's sort of, it's faction. It's based upon fact, but it's written by, they've changed the names of the guilty, but it's a fascinating read. Reads just like Tom Clancy. We'll be right back. This is Dr. Stan, and of course our guest is Dr. Garth Nicholson, and we've been talking about these chronic disabling diseases, and certainly then, of course, the complications that come after people have had the cancer therapy, and certainly the devastating effect of the chemotherapy, drugs, and radiation on the metabolism of the cells, and how many times if you can just get the mitochondria working again, the little batteries in the cells, why, of course, it helps people with the fatigue. Are there any other major issues you think we should be talking about this evening?
Well, I think one of the things that I think is very important is the fact that we've been discussing this, is the fact that practically every chronic illness, and certainly all the major illnesses that we see and face today, seem to involve infections. And I think this is something that I wrote a review on for Laboratory Medicine recently, and actually I just published a two-part review on this in the British Journal of Medical Practitioners, reviewing this whole area of all these different disease processes and how they seem to now involve in very important ways infections. So I think this is something that has not really been recognized until fairly recently, that the role of all these different infections play in all these chronic illnesses that we see, particularly the ones that are increasing in frequency. And I think that's something that everybody should be well aware of, and it's not something that most physicians know a lot about.
Well, I think one of the things is here in California, you know, when I first got here, why, of course, you never thought of thing going out in the hills and hiking, and you never heard of Lyme disease, and Lyme didn't come along till about 1980, but certainly it's spreading, and it's really endemic here in California. It's endemic increasingly throughout the world, and this is really, for all intents and purposes, a relatively new disease, isn't it?
It is. You know, although there was some incidents of it in Europe some time ago, in the United States, until the incidents in Old Lyme, Connecticut, which Lyme disease is named after, we didn't really see too much of it.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. Garth Nicholson, and we're simply talking about the fact that Lyme disease is a relatively new disease here in the United States. Until already it occurred in Lyme, Connecticut, in either the late 1970s. It was probably, what, the late 1970s when the first cases showed up?
Well, a little earlier than that, and actually the first cases were really not in Old Lyme, Connecticut. They were really on the tip of Long Island. And so this brings up another interesting subject that we've talked about before, and that's the role of Plum Island in this whole process. And right now, we still don't know all the answers to this, but some of the experiments that were being conducted by not only the Department of Agriculture, but also the Department of Defense on Plum Island, utilizing a variety of these different infections that we've been talking about and insect vectors. And we think that somehow this might have gotten loose or picked up by birds and spread across to Connecticut and spread to Long Island, and then it started spreading in the population, not only of birds but in deer and other animals, and picked up these insect-borne infections, primarily by ticks, and now it's spread all over. It's just, you can barely go anywhere where you don't see a certain amount of this. Anywhere where ticks and, in some cases, mosquitoes can survive, these infections are present.
And, Chris, really here in California, a fair number of people have it. We don't hear about it too much, but this is a very real condition and totally devastating to the people who come down with it.
Well, what's devastating about it is that in its early stages, where it's primarily localized to the point where the infection occurred, where the bite occurred, it can be very easily treated by generally a four-week course of antibiotics. But then once if it's untreated and it's allowed to spread, it can become systemic, and that's when it causes the problems. It can go to the major organs, even the brain, for example, and cause major problems, and then it's very difficult to treat. And there's quite a controversy going now with the Infectious Disease Society of America and the ILADS, or the International Association of Lyme and Associated Diseases, on how to treat these. And the ILADS group, in fact, I'm a speaker at the ILADS annual meeting, which is in 2 weeks in New Jersey, and I've got to go back and talk about some of our work on Lyme disease. There's been a real dramatic difference in the approach that has been used. And chronic Lyme, which is a major problem, is generally dismissed by a lot of mainstream medicine, which is really tragic because these people are kind of condemned to lead a life of illness and problems. And it doesn't have to be that way. This has become a very political football.
Well, now, what antibiotic would you ordinarily use if initially with the Lyme disease?
I beg your pardon?
What antibiotic would you use initially with Lyme if you knew it, you had a positive blood test, you had the target lesion, and you felt this was Lyme? What antibiotic would you use?
Well, there are a variety of different antibiotics, and people can learn about this on our website. The reason I'm not going to go into great detail on this is there are different strategies for treatment of chronic Lyme, and a lot of it depends upon the types of co-infections that you have. This complicates everything. In fact, I have a paper that's on our website which discusses Lyme Borrelia plus Mycoplasma plus Babesia plus Bartonella and so on and so forth. And if any of these other co-infections are present, this changes the treatment strategy and what has to be done. So it's really going to be a quite complicated process depending upon these co-infections. And that's what makes this North American Lyme problem so difficult, because of all these different co-infections along with the Borrelia. So the Borrelia alone is difficult enough to treat as it is. It's a spirochete, and it gets inside our cells and causes havoc. But along with the Mycoplasma and the Bartonella and the Babesia and so on and so forth, it just is really difficult to help these patients keep these infections under control.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you have a question for Dr. Garth Nicholson. But we know, starting about, well, I mean, with any real frequency, about late 1970s, why we've had, the chronic fatigue syndrome and chronic fibromyalgia and certainly the chronic Lyme disease, and certainly then, of course, we have AIDS, and they all occurred just about coming in with any frequency there in that time period, and they've just had a devastating effect on so many of our people. And we have to ask ourselves, where did this come from, and why is it spread, and why is there so much opposition to effective means of spreading, of treating of the Lyme disease? Because I know a number of people who've certainly gone from doctor to doctor, eventually found somebody who was willing to put them on long-term antibiotics, and they have really improved dramatically. I'm sure you've heard the same story, haven't you?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Again, I'm going to this ILADS meeting, and this is one of the reoccurring subjects that comes up over and over again, and how to deal with long-term chronic Lyme patients successfully, because it's not easy. They have a number of different problems, and it requires a number of different approaches.
Well, I think that for the people out there wanting to know more about Lyme disease, we have several books on Lyme disease, 4 tape sets on Lyme disease. There are organizations out there for people who have this, and if you are one of these unfortunate people with the chronic disabling illness, why, this is something you should seriously consider, because it's very difficult to diagnose if you have the positive, all the signs, and you have the certainly the target lesion, you have the the positive blood test, but an awful lot of people won't have the positive blood test, and then what do you do?
Well, this is a problem. You know, all of these types of infections, all the ones that I've been mentioning, including the Lyme Borrelia, the Mycoplasma, the Bartonella, the Babesia, and so on, all of these chronic infections, particularly the intracellular infections, the microorganisms hide inside our cells, hide away from the immune system. That makes it very difficult to use the immune systems to detect them. So it's really only when they're released from cells that we can actually find them, find telltale signs of them, and then using either genetic techniques or immunologic techniques. So finding these guys is not easy. And not all tests are going to be positive because they hide, and this really presents a real problem in terms of diagnosis.
And of course, most people don't have the the type of laboratory facilities that you have to track all these things down. That's the problem. Well, let's go to Carrie, who's calling us from Live Oak here. And our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Carrie. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good tonight, Dr. Sam. Thank you for your program. I saw an ad on television locally, Channel 8, in California, here in Santa Cruz area. And there was a veterinarian advertising immunization shots, and it had a whole list of different things that they offered shots for. At least that's how it looked on the ad. And on the list was, of course, heartworm and Lyme disease. And I've never seen it listed with pets before. But I do have a friend who claims her dog has Lyme disease.
Oh, and let's get Dr. Garth Nicholson's thoughts on that. Can animals get Lyme disease? Is there a vaccine for it?
Oh, absolutely. Many animals that are in these Lyme endemic areas have Lyme disease. And it's a fairly common occurrence. And it's surprising. Veterinarians know about it, and they usually treat it. And using some of the same techniques that are used to treat humans, there are vaccines against Lyme disease to help protect our feline, for example, and canine patients against Lyme disease. So those are available. These are the sorts of things that I think in some instances the vets are ahead of the physicians on.
Well, can I make a comment about that?
Sure, go right ahead.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that. But it's pretty shocking to me to believe that the veterinary community has shots to prevent it with pets, but no shots have been developed or any kind of help has been prepared for people. I mean, this is pretty outrageous if you think about it.
It really is, Carrie. I agree with you. What are your thoughts on what Carrie's saying, Dr. Nicholson?
Well, for one thing, you have to understand that to get a human vaccine approved, it's a much more difficult, longer process, requiring more clinical trials and so on. So that's one aspect of it. But I think the other aspect of it is to convince some of the old-time physicians that this is a real problem. There's still people that don't believe that chronic Lyme disease exists. And even the Infectious Disease Society of America is still dragging their heels on this very point. And so this is something that is staring you right in the eye, right in the face. Why can't you look at the objective data and act on it? There are people that just turn their backs. It's amazing. I don't understand it.
Well, there are lots of strange things going on in doing what we do while we're... sometimes it's almost enough to be you get a little paranoid, and then otherwise you realize, well, I'm only paranoid when I imagine people are really against me. I think it carries on against you. I had something else you wanted to say. Again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Carrie, did you have something else you wanted to say?
Yes, I did, because I have been struggling with Lyme disease since my son was about 4. And I was diagnosed with some unknown virus. And it literally caused my whole life to be devastated, because everyone said I was a hypochondriac. And that was back in the early 80s. And late 80s. And can't tell you what I've been through because of this denial around it and the unwillingness of the medical community to help us. They don't seem to care. Like you said, there seems to be a conspiracy. And there's a movie on it. You probably know about that one. There's a number of movies and stuff. So awareness is important, and also activism. Thank you.
Well, I agree that we have to be well-informed and active, because sometimes we have to protect ourselves and act ourselves if we can't get help from the medical community. That we certainly have kind of fell in that category after the Gulf War, when so many veterans came back and became ill and they couldn't get help from any of the military-established medical corps, for example. So we got involved in that, and that turned out to be at least half of those patients had a very unusual mycoplasma infection, and one of the reasons they wanted to keep it quiet and were denying it existed because they probably got it in the vaccine, the military vaccine. And so this was a problem that has continued for a long time. They're finally starting to clean up the vaccine now, so it's less and less a problem in the military, but boy, it was a problem for over a decade, this was a problem.
Well, you know, I read some statistics. Came out of the Veterans Administration, I think it was a year ago, or maybe it was 2 years ago. But they were talking about the survival rate of the Gulf veterans, the first Gulf War, 695,000 Americans. And they talked about the number who were still living, and it looked like almost 80,000 of them were no longer living. Have you heard any statistics of that sort?
Yes, I don't know the exact numbers, but many years ago I'd heard that 28,000 had died, and then the last time I looked, it was double that. So that could very well be, and there's still a very high incidence of illness. I get emails every day from veterans of the first Gulf War that are still sick and still haven't gotten help through the VA and so on and so forth. So we try and help many of them get diagnosis for their illness and get treatment, and it's still going on. To a lesser degree, this is a problem in the second Gulf War, and it's still a problem in many of the units, because some of these vaccines that are being used, we think, are still contaminated, or they have experiments that are going on, which has been going on for a long time. And so these illnesses haven't gone away. They just have been hanging around, and so somebody has to help all these veterans.
Well, I'm glad that you're there to help them, and certainly it's one of the great tragedies of our time. You would anticipate that the media would be taking the lead to expose the fact that the Veterans Administration is not helping many of these people. And I know I've talked to people who work for the VA who lost their jobs because they wanted to help the people with Gulf War illness.
Well, it's a major problem. I mean, we took care of a lot of physicians and nurses that came down with the illnesses, particularly with that had this unusual mycoplasma, and helped them find treatment and recover from it. And most of them left the VA, after that. That was just a terrible experience for them.
Well, no, are we having any real problems with the people coming back from the new second Gulf War? I mean, is there any comparable illnesses associated with this, do you know of?
Well, there's some, but certainly not the frequency. In the first Gulf War, 16 to 18% of the deployed forces came back and became sick. That's a very high percentage, higher than any other conflict in memory from World War One on. So that was a very, very high frequency of casualties, delayed casualties, because they didn't get immediately sick. This generally, they became sick within about 6 months after their return. It hasn't happened in that frequency in the second Gulf War and in Afghanistan, although some people have gotten sick, again, for a variety of different reasons. But we think that they're getting a little bit smarter about the vaccines and how they're being administered, and that's helped a lot.
And, of course, this whole idea of giving them so many vaccines at one sitting, that was, you know, they were getting six or eight vaccines at a single time. That's like getting six or eight individual infections at one time. Because
well, that was one of the major reasons for the problem, is that they were, in the first Gulf War, they were getting as many as 20 or 30 vaccines in a three-day period. They were getting the primary and then a booster each day. And they were receiving multiples of these, so they were, they were getting 10 to 20 different types of vaccines, and they were getting not only the primaries but the boosters all within a short period of time, and that's absolutely devastating for your immune system. Well, all of these vaccines have a certain contamination rate, and so even if they're minor contaminants in a vaccine that, you could handle if that was the only thing going on, when you're given all these different vaccines at once, it's very immune depressing. Suppress their immune systems, and I think they came down with a lot of these illnesses.
And, of course, then they had to cover it up. And that's the great tragedy. Of course, I think any bureaucracy, part of government, never wants to admit there could be a problem. But here, they had to cover it up, and they could not admit what was happening, which meant that many of these young men who fought very bravely for their country go to the Veterans Administration, to get help. And if the doctor helps them, he's going to lose his job. And I talk to doctors who do lose their job because they try to help these unfortunate veterans. Could that really happen in America? Ladies and gentlemen, it did. We'll be back in a moment to wrap up the program. Well, Garth, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. We've got about 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program. What message would you like to leave with our listeners out of...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression, and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
CD said on Lyme disease, and that there is so much information out there on Lyme disease, and you need to have access to it and then to access the groups. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that there is a conspiracy to keep these people from being treated. There's a wonderful book, we don't carry it, but it's called Osler's Web, and it goes into the background of the chronic fatigue syndrome. And everything has been done to suppress efforts to get these people treated. I've been to the CDC, I know, and I will tell you there were people there who had a different agenda because they had a different worldview. I went there talking about the AIDS epidemic, and I realized they had no intention of stopping the AIDS epidemic. And if you haven't heard some of my talks on the AIDS epidemic or read my book, AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Probably that's the best overview of the AIDS epidemic. And it really overlaps with chronic fatigue, with, of course, fibromyalgia, with Lyme disease. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. I recommend the book along with my other book, of course, Brotherhood of Darkness. At the time when I wrote AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, I did not understand the degree of organized evil that exists in the world. After the book, I think that you will probably agree with me. And, of course, this is in part what we're going to be talking about. We're going to update Brotherhood of Darkness at my all-day conference. Now, I've learned a lot in the last 10 years, and I think that you will as well if you hear my talk on the dark secret. We're, of course, going to have an all-day conference on the 17th of October. It's going to be at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. You're going to need reservations because we're going to be serving lunch. And it looks like we're going to have a real good turnout. I hope you can come. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And you can certainly give us a call and make a reservation. And then, of course, we do hope that you'll bring your friends, tell other people about it. We still have probably maybe 10, 15 places there, but we're going to have a real good turnout. But if you're interested in coming, give us a call. But we have to have the reservations in by next Monday, because on Tuesday we tell them how many people are going to be for lunch, and after that, it's too late. Anyway, Sydney, our number again, 1-800-544-8927. Then, of course, hope you'll read our book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Our book, AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. That was my first experiment with writing a book. And we got out to 25,000 copies of the book, despite the fact that every time we'd get it relisted, somebody would come and say, the book's out of print, not available. And people could not get the book. Everything was done to suppress it. Why? Because it made very clear that we were not trying to stop the AIDS epidemic then, and we're not trying to stop the AIDS epidemic today. And you have to ask yourself, why? Well, that takes you into my talk on planned population reduction, my other talk, None Dare Call It Genocide, and my talk on population control. We have a 4-tape set on population control. You can read my monograph, The Population Control Agenda. It's up on the Internet, or you can simply get a free copy of it if you get any of the other items by calling 1-800-544-8927. There really is an agenda to kill off most of the people in the world, and those who are not killed off will be very ill. How do we know there's an agenda? Why, because Zbigniew Brzezinski wrote a book back in 1970 called Between Two Ages. Between Two Ages, and on the page, I think it's the bottom of the page, 57 or 58 or 9, he talks about how by the year 2018 we'll be able to create all these new chronic diseases. We'll be able to create all these new chronic diseases to disable the enemy. And ladies and gentlemen, you and I are the enemy of the elite. Because Mr. Brzezinski works for the Rockefeller. He created the Trilateral Commission. Their logo is a circle made up of three arrows, look like three sixes, joined together by an upside down broken cross.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is straight up top of the hour. You are in the right place today. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for caring about your world. It is 7 October 2010, and financially, we're in trouble. I mean, it's big trouble. The information now is that toward this last quarter, we are going to experience something unique, something we've never seen before. And I think as they gradually sort of release little snippets of information as to how bad a shape we are in, well, it's going to come crashing down around our shoulders. And a sad time, around the holiday time, a lot of people are going to learn things they've never known. Now, Power Hour people, I think you're going to be in good shape. I think you're going to understand. I think you're going to be prepared. And I commend you all for having been prepared, pulling your money out of the stock market, doing the right things, stocking up on tuna fish, kitty litter, whatever it is that you do, you've done the right thing. And if you haven't, you still have time. And you still have time to beat the rest of the world to the door of the grocery store or wherever you're going to be buying your items. And I am insistent that this is going to happen. I absolutely have no doubts now that we cannot sustain the incredible fraud that has been taking place. It's got to be over at a point. And I do commend all of you for getting your food stored up. That is one of the main things. And if you have not done that, remember, the one food, the only food that I recommend at the Power Hour, and they don't pay me a dime. They do some beans, but not a dime. I will tell you, I believe in Heartland Emergency Food because it is storable for up to 30 years, the freeze-dried food is storable for up to 30 years. And if you don't use it now, big whoop. But I guarantee you, if you get that macaroni and cheese, you will use it. It is so good. And their phone number is 830-431-1776, 830-431-1776. Now, one of the reasons that I really promote these people that are doing Heartland Emergency is because they're working on a project right now. And they're taking their money and putting it toward this project that we're going to tell you about later on, that you're going to be so thrilled that you did business with the real deal people. I mean, they walk the walk. A bunch of the other food people, they're food people. They don't walk the walk. These people do, and I can attest to that. So anyway, I think it is time now that we look at having all the items that we need. I mean, seriously, toilet paper. Do you have some setback? What are you going to do in place of it? Think of plan B on everything that you do. And why? Because, well, I think even now, as, well, we watch the gold go up, and it's gone up another $10 today, $11.58, it's off its highs today. The stock market's booming. Well, it was up 200 points day before yesterday, 20 points yesterday. Seems to be going up toward the $11,000 mark. There's something, there's an undercurrent, and now we're looking at government workers' pensions as targets next. What's going to happen when all these people don't have their pensions to live on? What's going to happen when Social Security doesn't come through
for those people that have depended upon it. All the monies they've depended upon from the government. What happens when it's not there? All right, some of the items we're going to be talking about today, the 13 most evil U.S. government experiments. You know why? Because I want people to understand what a government is capable of doing. I've spent my life looking, well, my last